Well, there's one thing that's really clear that we all know about this story, and it's that had this story been told, or had this story been a real story of 21st century Western civilization, the landowner of that vineyard would have probably already been sued last year and gone out of business and may very well be in jail at this moment. Isn't this how, kind of how the story goes? We all kind of feel that way, if we're honest. When I was a child, I never understood this gospel because I was like, dude, that's just not fair. That's just not fair. Every kid knows about justice. It's just like one of the first instincts we have as kids. Give me what is mine. And sometimes what we think is mine is like probably more than right what we deserve. And what's mine is mine. And my siblings, what's theirs is mine too. And I don't even want to play with it right now, but they can't have it because it's mine, right? So in some measure, right, we hear this story and we're just, it is a little bit abrasive. Because this landowner would go to court after being sued and he would lose his court battle because according to the laws of American democracy, we have things like equal opportunity and employment, and we are still, right, in some ways striving for equal work, for equal pay. We have all kinds of issues, and we have all kinds of laws and protections to make sure that you are paid what is just, what is due. Whatever you're working, this is what you are owed. And so any landowner that would have said, no, but judge, they freely came to me and said that they would work for me for this wage. I didn't cheat them anything. The judge would say, no. That's not how this works. How this works is you pay people what they're worth. You pay people what they're worth. And then if they do more work, you can't, as an employer, simply decide that this person is worth comparatively more than the other person. You're not allowed to run a business like that in the United States of America. Everybody knows that. So then what is it about this story? One really small detail, which is the entire premise of the story. And the small detail is this. The first words out of Jesus' mouth when he tells his disciples this parable, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus tells a story that is in great contrast with the kingdom of the world. He tells a story about the kingdom of heaven and about what it is like in this life to live for the kingdom of heaven. And there are some really important lessons that are meant to be heard that if they are abrasive to our natural instincts, must nonetheless be, we must be grateful for with our instincts of faith. Because the first thing that Jesus tells us about the kingdom of heaven, what it's like, is that those who are part of the vineyard of the master are those who are invited. Nobody gets to work in the vineyard, right? This is something that's true of that story. The only way that you are working in the vineyard of the master, of the landowner, in other words, right, the kingdom of the Father, the kingdom of heaven, is if you are given that privilege, if you are given that opportunity by one whose right it is to employ you. You have no right in the kingdom of heaven to work in the vineyard unless you've been invited to work into the vineyard. So the kingdom of heaven is not something that is stolen. It's not something that we are allowed to simply say, all right, I'm just going to come start working for you and you're going to pay me. I mean, imagine how well that would work out. If you had someone random show up to your house, be like, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and mow your lawn for you. I'm going to start mowing your lawn for you and you're going to pay me every time I mow your lawn. And you're going to say, well, I didn't ask you to mow my lawn. Oh, that's okay. I'm going to mow your lawn and then you're going to owe me money at the end of that. No, that's not how this works. Jesus speaks about, right, the Christian life of faith. And one thing that is eminently true by the very end of this story to one who sees with the eyes of faith, to one who is able to understand the story with the eyes of faith, would themselves question sort of the complaining heart of those who were the first laborers. What does it mean to work in the vineyard? Well, I think it means this. I think it means the very thing that we heard at the opening prayer of this Mass. O God, who founded all the commands of your sacred law upon love of you and of our neighbor. All the commands, love of you and love of neighbor. To be working in the vineyard means to love God and to love our neighbor. And what does that show us at the end of the day? What it shows us at the end of the day is that the kingdom of heaven does not function like the kingdom of the earth, where you are paid what you are due justly by your workload. In the kingdom of heaven, you are not judged by what you do. In the kingdom of heaven, you are judged by who you are. What was the value of the one who worked 1 hour? The same value as the one who worked all day. Am I worth more than you in the kingdom of heaven? Are you worth more than your neighbor in the kingdom of heaven? The value of a human soul is priceless. This is the lesson, right, of what it means to be a worker in the vineyard. That at the end of the day, how could God value you differently than he values me, differently than he values, you know, Bob, different than he values Susie, different than he values any human soul, all of whom have an infinite price. And if that is the worth of and the work of and the learning of the life of living in the kingdom of heaven on this earth, then it makes all kinds of sense how useless it was to be a complaining servant at the end, and what was really revealed about that servant. Because if it means to work in the vineyard that I am to love God and to love my neighbor, should I ever envy anybody who begins to love God and their neighbor? Is that a loss to me? If someone else's heart is converted, if someone else comes into a life-saving relationship with Jesus, whether that is at the first hour at dawn, or at the 11th hour, which would be 5 p.m., right, the last hour of the day that the master went out. It is no loss to any of us. So then you come to the end of the day, and the master of the vineyard says, why are you envious? Why are you envious of this one who has only worked 1 hour? Are you envious because you had to love me your whole life, and this person only had to love me for 1 hour? Is that something to be envious about? Oh man, I wish I just only had to love God for the last hour of my life. What a loss for me that I loved God my whole life. It's absurd, isn't it? But this is, again, right, the story about the kingdom of heaven. And I would bet you, if we were to place ourselves in the position of that last laborer, what would that last laborer have said about his own labor? Right. In other words, if someone finally came to faith in Jesus, finally came to a life-saving relationship with God in the last hour of their life, and you were to go to that person and you were to say to that person, what's your opinion of your life? What's your thought about your life? What would that one have said? Would they have said, oh, I'm so glad that I just love God this last hour? Or would rather they probably would have said this, if only I had this earlier. You've known God your whole life. If only I had known God my whole life. Who would be the envious one? Would it probably have been the one who only was able to be in the vineyard the last hour of the day? I think probably so. But again, right, this story about the kingdom of heaven, this story that Jesus tells, is a story about how we live our lives of faith. And I would say, especially as Christians, how it is that we view other people and how it is that we judge other people around us. Because the lesson of the vineyard owner is the lesson that all people are valued the same. And do we do the same? Because whether we know we do it or not, we do have opinions and attitudes. You see, the person who labored all day thought that he was worth more. He was living for the kingdom as if he could earn the gift, but he can't. That is a temptation of the Christian life, is it not? That we begin to love the gift more than we love the gift giver. He wanted the pay more than he wanted to be in the vineyard, to be with the vineyard master. So consider this, for example. I woke up Saturday morning, surprised to find out that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. Very well-known figure. She is a real-life person who lived in the real-life world, right? And on that moment, in that moment, you were presented, when you found out that news, with this story. Maybe you didn't know you were being presented with this story, but you were. And so here's the gut check. What was your first mental reaction? What was your first mental reaction when you heard about the passing of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg? What was your first reaction? Oh God, I hope President Trump appoints a new justice ASAP. Was your first reaction, oh God, I hope President Trump does not appoint a new justice before the election? Was your first reaction, well, she's dead now, she's gonna get what she deserves? Was your first reaction, oh dear Jesus, have mercy on her soul? In other words, was our first reaction to a human being based upon what they did in this life, or based upon who they are before God? You all know as well as I do that she is an example of a woman who was loved by very, very many. And she was a woman who was hated by very, very many. And I don't know what her heart is, none of us do, but I do know that at least in name, she was Jewish, that at least in name, she did not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in her life or as Savior of the world. And that as a human being, she is as much in need of salvation as my soul is in need of salvation. And so do we have, in regards to the people around us, do we place a value on their head, or do we believe them priceless? Whatever their condition in life, whatever they've done or not done, whatever their politics, are they a daughter of God and a son of God? And so what are they worth to me? And my point is not to have some sort of political commentary about what the world is going on in the world. My point is that you live this gospel, and I live this gospel every day of our lives, and we're presented with opportunities every day to judge our brothers and sisters and to ask ourselves, am I living my Christian life with a marketplace mentality or with a kingdom of heaven mentality? And yesterday morning, I was surprised. And I asked, oh Jesus, please bring her to heaven. Please bring her to heaven. I offered mass for her yesterday morning. Because I know that I am at least as much in need of salvation as she is, if not more in need of salvation. I'm gonna have I'll be judged not only on my own Christian walk, but I'm gonna be judged on my stewardship as well as a priest. I mean, we all have like our own journeys, but the kingdom of heaven is about the fact that you are priceless and I am priceless. And so is every human being that we ever set eyes upon. And we should rejoice in our opportunity, the blessing, the grace that we have been given to love God for as long as we've been able to love God, whether that is from when we were baptized as infants or whether that's we pray for a deathbed conversion, and God only knows. But for every single one of us in between, the challenge is real. The challenge is real. Because our thought life and our heart life even if other people don't see it, it all is seen by the Lord. Jesus says, my friend, do I cheat you? My friend, are you jealous? My friend, do you envy wrongly? Are you here to earn my gift of salvation that I just want to give you anyways? Are you here to judge your brother or your sister for what they've done in this life or for what they haven't done in this life? Or do you not rather pray always and consistently for mercy for your soul and for the soul of everybody you meet? That's how we know in our own hearts if we are the servant that grumbles, if we are the servant that was grateful. Because what if that was you? What if you were the 11th hour conversion? Would you be happy that God didn't put a price on your head, but told you, no, you're still priceless to me? I think all of us would be very grateful if we were the 11th hour conversion, that we were able to receive the same salvation as the one who knew God their whole lives. So I would, for example, challenge us this day or this week to pray for the repose of the soul of dear Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And while you're at it, to please pray that God have mercy on your soul. And while you're at it, please pray that God have mercy on my soul and for the soul of every human. And think again that if God believes you're priceless, he believes that your brother and that your sister is also priceless. Because God doesn't judge us by what we do. The kingdom of heaven is about who we are.